Our series this morning on the voices of Christmas. And today we're going to talk about, says it right there on the screen, the angels from Luke chapter 2 verses 8 to 14. And let's just look at what the scripture says. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, laying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. For many of you, this is a very, very familiar passage. You've probably heard it if you've been in church for any length of time, every Christmas. For some of you, it may be new, and that's fine as well. But I want to just look at a few things from this passage, and then ask us in the end to consider where we're at today, with Christmas fastly approaching. Now, when this passage begins, we find some shepherds, and there it says that they're in their fields, and it's nighttime. Now understand, these shepherds were likely very, very young men. They may have only been boys. See, tradition tells us that in biblical times, the shepherding of a family flock was done by the youngest son. So if you had flocks, and you were the owner of those flocks, and you had a son, he would become, when he hit a certain age, they say likely around 9, 10, maybe 11, the youngest son, that son would start guarding the flocks. He would become the shepherd of the family. And then if another boy was born, when he hit that age, older brother didn't have to be the shepherd anymore. Younger brother became the shepherd, and so on, and so on, and so on. So these shepherds were likely not very old at the time this occurs. If we want to see an example of that, when Samuel came to anoint David, where was David? He was in the fields playing shepherd, or being shepherd. He wasn't playing, because David was what? The youngest son. So these young men were in a field somewhere outside Bethlehem with a flock to guard. Understand, this is night. When do thieves come? At night. The thief normally doesn't come and break into your house in the middle of your day, in the day. The thief might come and steal your Amazon box during the day, but the thief normally doesn't come in broad daylight. So night for the shepherds was their toughest time of day. That doesn't make sense. Their toughest time of a 24-hour period was the evening. So they were on guard. They were going about their business. A shepherd's business was to what? Keep the sheep from straying. Keep the sheep from being stolen. It's really interesting. We have a dog who has a herding somewhere in her background. And it's funny when my two grandsons come over to watch her try to herd these 5 and 7-year-old boys. And they get so frustrated because she goes and she'll nip their hand and try to pull them because she wants them to stay in the living room. And then they cry, she bit me. And I try to say, well, if you didn't run around, she wouldn't be biting you. But they're 5 and 7. So they're very much like sheep. They want to wander off, do their own thing. So the shepherd's job that they were doing that night was to keep the sheep in a place where they could be protected. And like I say, they were literally just going about their daily routine. This was a normal day, nothing out of the ordinary yet. And all of a sudden, an angel appears to them. The angel appears and interrupts their day. And what does the scriptures tell us? They were terrified. Some versions say afraid. But when an angel appears and interrupts your day-to-day routine, you're going to be a little startled. Especially when it's night and you're guarding your flock. I don't know. Maybe they thought, what kind of new thief is this? What kind of new method of this is someone using to steal our sheep? They were on high alert because it was evening. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared and interrupted. And what does the angel say? Don't be afraid. The angel reassures them. And I'm pretty sure the glory of God that surrounded them brought them down a little bit as well. But that could have also scared them even more. Why is there this shining light around us? Why is there this glowing being? But the angels say, do not be afraid. The version I read here, the New Living, says the angel reassured them. They probably needed it. They needed reassurance. And then the angel says something to them in second part of verse 10. I bring you good news. Good news. That is the understatement of all eternity. Good news. Good news is, for some of you here, the Leafs win the Stanley Cup. That's good news. For some of you, that's very bad news, by the way. But we won't go there. Great news is when the doctor tells you the cancer is gone. To me, that good news is not great news. Is when the news that Jesus has come, I don't know what word you put in front of news that works, that explains what it meant that Jesus had arrived. Good news to me does not explain what the angel was telling the shepherds. That is so understated. And as we go on, you'll see why it's understated, because they explain what the good news is. But that's awesome news. That's amazing news. That's wonderful news. That is the best news anybody could ever get in all of history. Good news? But the angel says, I bring you good news. And that news, it will bring you great joy. Okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. The angel brings this good news. And what's the good news going to do? It's going to bring you and me and every human being from that point in history great joy. Great joy. And the shepherds may be starting to get it at this point. This angelic being has showed up, told us not to be afraid, says they have good news, and it's going to bring us great joy. You see, Jesus' arrival should bring us amazing joy, great joy, wonderful joy, ecstatic joy. But the angel comes and brings good news that will cause great joy. Imagine you're a young shepherd. You're just doing your thing, shepherding, smacking a few sheep with your stick, keeping them in line, poking them, get back in your area. And an angel shows up and interrupts you. It says, I've got good news, and it is going to bring you great joy. I don't know about you, but I'd be thinking, okay, tell me the rest of the news. Get to it already. What's such good news? You ever watch a news broadcast nowadays? I try not to, because I just sit and yell at my TV. There ain't much good news on TV. Our media wants to concentrate on all the bad stuff that's happening. But have you ever sat and watched the news, and all of a sudden a good story comes on? I don't really watch, I listen to news more than when I drive the car. And all of a sudden this good story comes on, and you get that smile and that kind of, oh, good, something good's going on in this world. Well, I'm sure the same way I like to hear those good news stories, I'm sure these shepherds are saying, okay, tell us, let us know. And what does the angel say next? The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. A Savior. If you remember last week, Pastor Dan spoke and talked about the voice of Isaiah. I almost said Elijah for some reason out of habit. And how from the time Isaiah had prophesied about the coming of the Savior was approximately 730 or so years until this day when the angel is announcing he's born. These shepherds have been waiting for the promise of God their entire lives. Their entire parents' lives, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great, you know, on and on and on. They've been waiting for this news that a Savior has come. You also have to understand that they're under Roman authority now. And they're waiting for a Savior that's going to release them, even if they didn't understand what Jesus was going to save them from. Maybe they thought he was going to save them from captivity to Rome, which many people did think. But they were waiting for a Savior. And now they're hearing that good news that he's come. The Messiah, the one they've been waiting for, has been born. Now, I'm not sure they even understood that the Messiah was going to be born. I'm not sure they didn't think he was just going to appear. But they were told, he's born. He's here. He's arrived. What you've been waiting for your entire life is here. And then what happens next? The angel was joined by a multitude of others, and they praised God. Imagine that. First of all, you're just out in your field, and an angel appears, and the glory of God shines around you. They tell you, we have good news. It's going to bring you great joy. The one you've been waiting for, the Messiah, has been born. And all of a sudden, heaven erupts in song. Think about that. This isn't one or two angels. My Bible says a vast host of angels. Vast. To me, that's a lot. Probably can't count them. I could stand up here today if I stayed quiet for a few minutes and count how many of you are in the room. My best guess is about 85. I haven't counted. There was more than 85 angels. A vast host of angels break into song. Anybody here think that our sound system is a little loud at times? Don't put up your hands. I've heard it before. Sometimes you think the drummer plays a little too loud. Eric, I don't believe that. So just keep going. Or too soft, but we're not worried about soft. You know, sometimes you don't, oh, why do we have that electric guitar? It just squeals in my ear. Imagine the sound a vast host of angels starting to sing would make. I don't think the shepherds were complaining. Oh, that's too loud. Shut up. Oh, I don't like the song they're singing. Tell you a secret. Over the years, pastoring, I've heard that way too often. Oh, pastor, we shouldn't sing that song. I don't like it. I don't even know how to respond to that. Is it praising God? Then get over your likes and dislikes. I tell my kids all the time, I don't like their music. I have a reason not to like their music. I have no reason not to like a song that's praising God. Might not be my piece of cake. May not be my favorite style of music. But I don't think the shepherd are sitting there going, oh, turn that song off. You know, where's the tuner on the radio so I can turn to another station? No, the angels, a vast host of them, begin praising God. And I started to think about that. I go, well, why would the angels praise God? Actually, Pastor Dan sent me a devotional he had found this week, and it got me thinking about this. Why would the angels praise God? This didn't do anything for them. The angels were already in heaven. They were already with God. So why would the angels be praising God? And then I realized the angels understood what was going on. You see, these same angels who are now singing and praising God were there when he created the universe. These same angels now singing their praises to God had seen the earth in its perfect form, had seen Adam and Eve in their perfection when they were created, had seen the animals in their perfection as created. Job chapter 38 verse 4 to 7 says this. This is God talking to Job because Job's been complaining. It says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimension and stretched out the surveying lines? What supports its foundations and who laid its cornerstones? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. When the earth was created, the angels sang with joy at what God had created. They seen it. And what have they seen for the past whatever number of years, few thousand? They've seen the fallen earth. They've seen fallen humanity. They've seen a shadow of what God created in the beginning. And now they understand that the beginning of the redemption of the earth and God's children is beginning that very night. And they sang with joy. You also have to understand that the angels were present when Adam and Eve sinned and God spoke over them and prophesied the Messiah's coming. The angels were there. In fact, two of them were put at the gates of the garden to guard it. That must have been a horrible job. You've seen humanity in its perfection. Now you have to keep humanity out of the garden. But Genesis chapter 3 verses 14 and 15 says this. Then the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike at his heel. God promises Eve at that moment that he will send one of her offspring to defeat Satan. The angels would have heard that. The angels would have known that. The angels knew who God was, and when he promises something, he keeps his promise. But they've waited thousands of years. We talked about Israel waiting from hearing Isaiah's voice 730 years. The angels have waited thousands of years to see what God's going to do to fulfill his promise. And that started that night. Well, it started actually when he made the word, but it was coming to pass that evening. And they sang. They erupted because they understood what was happening. The angels understood what Jesus' arrival meant to the world. And they celebrated. They sang with all their might. I honestly don't know how that song wasn't heard around the world. I wasn't there. Maybe it was. But they understood what Jesus' arrival meant. So you might say this morning, well, Pastor Paul, what does that mean to me? Well, it should mean a lot. My question to us today is, do we understand what Jesus' arrival meant? Some might be here today and saying, you're with the shepherds. I've never heard the good news before. And I know somebody say, well, come on, we're in church. We've all heard that before. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't grow up in church. I remember I started going to church and it was summer-ish. So it was late August to early September, somewhere in there. And I remember when I got to my first Christmas in church and all of a sudden the pastor got up and he started preaching about Christmas and about Jesus coming. And I went, what does that have to do with Christmas? Being honest, I had no clue. I grew up in Canada in a Christian country and I had not a clue that Christmas had anything to do with Christ. I got to my first Easter and I found out that that had to do with Christ too. But so we can be here. You can be in this room today. And this is the first time for some of you maybe that you've heard Christmas is about Jesus coming. Let me tell you, that's good news. That's awesome news. That's wonderful news. That's the best news you can ever hear. What we need to do is understand what that means. I'm going to skip the joy part. We'll get back to that in a second. Jesus coming, what does it mean though? It means that you and I can have relationship with God. See, if he doesn't come at Christmas, Easter doesn't happen. Without Christmas, there's no Easter. And I'll go the opposite way. Without Easter, Christmas really doesn't mean anything. But he came to do what? To save us. What did the angel say? A savior has come. He came to save us from our sin, to redeem us, to pay the price that we can come back to relationship with God. Maybe you're here today and have never accepted Christ. Yeah, you might realize what Christmas is all about, but you've never actually accepted it. Well, that can be today. That can be right this instant while I'm talking. The angels understood what it meant. Do we understand what it means? Or do we get so trapped in Christmas? My family can tell you, I am not a great lover of Christmas. What it's become. This, Jesus coming, love that. My kids call me the Grinch or Scrooge. Because sometimes we get so caught up in having to do this Christmas dinner and that Christmas dinner and go see that person who I really don't want to go see because I really don't like them. I'm being honest. We should love everybody. Some people we don't like very much. You know, running here, running there. You know, I hate Christmas shopping. I love shopping. Ask my wife. I love shopping. I have to force my wife, I'm telling stories on her, to go shopping. For her, not for me. When she needs stuff, I have to force her. And then I get to the store and I say, oh, I like this. And she goes, I don't like that. That won't work on me. And I have to say, go put it on. And then she normally comes out of the dressing room and says, oh, I like this. But I love shopping. I just hate Christmas shopping. I would rather go shopping in mid to late January, early February when the mall is dead because everybody's paying their bills off and they don't have any money. The sales are big. You like Boxing Day sales, people? Wait till the end of January and see how much those Boxing Day sales look expensive. Anyways, I love going. I don't like the crowded malls. I don't like the lineup for Santa Claus blocking the mall. The way this year, my Christmas shopping will all be done on Amazon and it'll get delivered straight to the people's doors. Little plug for Amazon. But I don't like being in that crowd. But that's what Christmas has become to many of us. Crowded malls, seeing people we don't really want to see, eating way too much food. That I don't have a problem with. My waistline and my scale has a problem with it. But Christmas has become all these things that it's not. Christmas is Jesus came. Jesus arrived. To do what? To save us and bring us joy. We're going to go back to that. Joy. Have we forgotten the joy that Christmas should bring us? Because we're so trapped in what society tells us Christmas is. Should be a joyful time. Should be a time to celebrate what Jesus did by coming. Becoming a baby, a child. Living as one of us. Growing up the same way we grew up. And ultimately dying on a cross for us. See, when we remember what Christmas is really all about, this should be the most joyful time of the year. This should be the time of year where we praise God and we thank God. Instead, what do a lot of us do? We run around like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to see this person and be at this thing and be at that thing. And I'm not saying don't be in church. Don't use that excuse. Well, Pastor Paul said that we're so busy that I'm not going to come to church on Christmas Eve. No, I didn't say that at all. What better day to be in church? To praise God. My question today is, will you join the angels praising God this Christmas? Will you join that song of praise to God, thanking him for who he is and for coming for us?